This week we've been talking about the apparent attempt by a young Nigerian man to blow up a Detroit-bound flight on Christmas Day. Al-Qaeda affiliates in Yemen, in the Arabian Peninsula, reportedly sent that man on the mission. They're claiming responsibility anyway. Owen Bennett Jones just returned from that country, and he's host of the BBC's NewsHour program. He joins us now from England. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning to you.
So we're curious about how the Yemenis feel about what's been going on with their country so much in the news lately. You spoke to two people in Yemen with very, very different views on it. First, a newspaper editor.
In my opinion, Al-Qaeda is somebody else's problem. It's not ours.
But you also met a Yemeni rapper named AJ who writes songs with an anti-Al-Qaeda message.
Yes, man, in Yemen, al-Watan, my home. Al-Qaeda, not welcome, so let it be known. Al-Habi, they wanna know no terrorists, please.
So, Owen, is this a fairly accurate picture? Is there a divide in Yemen?
Well, I should say the rapper was really a Yemeni-American, so perhaps that explains his perspective. Now, I think there is a fairly universal feeling in Yemen that the Al-Qaeda threat is not really their problem. They have a lot of problems of their own to worry about. They have a civil war in the north of the country, and they have a very substantial independence movement in the south of the country. So the government feels really under siege. And the Al-Qaeda problem is there, but it is the least of their problems.
Well, this is also a pretty poor country. We often think of Middle East countries as being rich because of oil, but Yemen has serious problems with poverty.
Sure, the oil is running out. The revenues are down 75% this year. That's partly because of price falls, but also because of declining production. And to throw into the mix, if that all weren't enough, there is a shortening supply of water. You know, the population has grown so much as a result of the oil money over the last 20, 30 years that it has created a situation where the water table is falling by something terrifying like 8 meters a year. So, I mean, Yemen has very, very serious problems. And as I say, Al-Qaeda is one of them, but it's by no means the biggest.
Well, you know, maybe you can paint a picture for us on how much Al-Qaeda is in the daily minds of Yemenis. I mean, we had the foreign minister last week saying that they think they have maybe 200 or 300 Al-Qaeda militants in the country. But this is a country with 26 million people, so that's a relatively small population.
No, sure. I mean, nobody knows. I don't know if the foreign minister really knows how many there are, but he's just trying to, you know, downplay it, I guess. And, you know, there clearly is an issue. They've got Al-Qaeda operating in the rural areas. There are attacks, generally very low-level attacks. So the sort of thing that will go on is that a provincial security official in some provincial town will be killed, and Al-Qaeda will claim it. But no major attacks in the center of Sada for a year or so. The last one was on the American embassy, so not really a domestic target. And so, you know, it's a low-level rumbling problem. And the government obviously want to make enough of it to get any American resources that might be available to help them combat it, but at the same time not to exaggerate it to the extent that the Americans get so concerned they start really interfering in Yemeni politics.
Well, it's funny you should mention this, because this is a clip of the Yemen's foreign minister speaking earlier this week to a BBC reporter.
Well, I'm sure that the United States can do a lot, Britain can do a lot, the European Union can do a lot in that regard. There is actually, at the moment, some support that is coming. I must say it's inadequate.
It sounds like he's asking Western nations and UN members to come in and help, but you say that you don't want them, they don't want those countries meddling too much. So what kind of support are they looking for? Just financial?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, no doubt they're looking for what Pakistan's been looking for and what others look for, which is financial assistance to beef up their army. You know, they've got a civil war going on in the north. They've got this secessionist movement in the south. So they've got lots of military needs, as they see it. Those would be the priorities. And no doubt they're hoping that they can raise some serious assistance from the United States, which would help them in those conflicts. So, you know, it's a familiar picture. The Americans face a difficult dilemma. And, you know, and on top of all of this, you have to remember that nearly half the people left in Guantanamo are Yemenis. And, of course, after all this, with this Detroit thing, there's ever lessening chance that the American administration will feel able to return those people to Yemen. And yet, in Yemen, there is, you know, really quite strong anti-Americanism, partly founded on the basis that most people think those Yemenis are entirely innocent and shouldn't be in Guantanamo. So, I mean, that's another sort of element which is affecting the popular mood in Yemen.
Do they acknowledge those who were released from Guantanamo and then went on to be involved in terrorist acts?
Sure. I mean, most of those are Saudis, actually. So, I mean, there are quite a few. I mean, there are not many Yemenis have been let out. Those who have been let out, I mean, I met quite a few of them, are living peacefully in Yemen, and they're quite closely monitored. I'm not aware of any Yemenis who have gone back to struggle. There may well be, you know, one or two, but certainly there are Saudis who've done that and who are based in Yemen. So that sort of confuses
the picture. Oh, I see. They're based in Yemen, but they're not Yemenis.
So, I mean, yes. I mean, you know, we have American congressmen openly describing these Yemenis in Guantanamo as terrorists. And yet, you know, in Yemen, that is simply not how it's perceived. They say if they're terrorists, then charge them and put them in jail, certainly. But if not, then release them and send them back home.
Well, it seems clear at this point that the United States is going to have to be involved in Yemen to some extent, whether that be as small as sending a check or whether as large as actually possibly sending troops over. But is the Yemeni government a stable partner? Are we possibly entering into another partnership in anti-terrorist activities where their partner is not secure?
Well, it's weak. You know, I mean, they do face, as I've mentioned, these very serious challenges. And it is a tribal society, so... You know, many, many Yemenis of the 22 million, many of them basically have greater loyalty to their tribe than to the central government. So, you know, the government is always managed by mediating the various forces that exist in Yemeni society rather than by imposing itself. There is quite a strong army. I mean, they are fighting seriously in the north and they're trying to quell this rebellion up there. But, you know, they haven't managed to do so in 5 years. So that gives you some impression of just how much authority the Yemeni government has. And the United States does face, you know, a serious, yeah, it's a classic foreign policy dilemma. And whether they pour money into a government that really isn't in a position to deliver the results the Americans want is the challenge that, you know, the administration faces.
Okay, thanks so much. Owen Bennett-Jones is host of the BBC's NewsHour program. He joined us from England.